My brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand. Stand against the wiles of the devil.
Then we've got a song in our songbook. Little is much when God is in it.
397.
In the harvest field now ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling, to the harvest calling you. Little is much when God is in it, labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it, if you'll go in Jesus' name. Does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it, and he'll not forget his own. Little is much when God is in it, labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it, if you go in Jesus' name. Are you laid aside from service, body worn from toil and care? You can still be in the battle, in the sacred place of prayer. Little is much when God is in it, labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it, if you'll go in Jesus' name. When the conflict here is ended, and our race on earth is run, he will say to all the faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. Little is much when God is in it, labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it, if you'll go in Jesus' name.
Well, praise the Lord. I appreciate that again. And if you're here and laboring for wealth or fame, I'll just have to announce that it ain't working out for you here again. So, praise the Lord. We can labor for him. And there's always results. You heard in Sunday school, there's always results for our labors for him. Sometimes you won't know the results, so you get the glory. Sometimes Beverly and I, as youth pastor, we were always amazed. Like sometimes 10 years later, one of our teenagers would call us up and say, "You didn't know this, but I got saved." "You didn't know this, but I surrendered my life again." And so it's always a joy to be in the service of the Lord. Let's open our Bibles to John, Gospel of John, and chapter 14. I am going to preach for you an outline. If you were here Friday night, you already have the outline again. And we're going to go over all the same verses that Brother Bennett preached to us about heaven. Tonight we have a message about hell. I try to be careful not to announce that because Satan knows what I'm going to preach too. But I was careful this week and didn't announce that until just now again. So Satan's just finding out that we're preaching about hell tonight or this morning. So let's go ahead and look at John chapter 14. Friday night we looked at heaven. There was an acrostic given, H-E-A-V-E-N. And we're going to do the same acrostic tonight, but we're going to preach again, what you miss out on if you don't go to heaven, and what you taste of for those that would go to hell. And so we want to, again, understand that as believers. I'm reminded of Booth, who's founder of the Salvation Army, which doesn't have too much to do with salvation or army anymore. But he said if he could just take his disciples and hang them for one day by their heel over hell, he wouldn't have to send them to 4 years of Bible school to learn how to preach again. And so again, understand that, boy, if we just get a glimpse, it was good to get a glimpse Friday night of what heaven's going to be. Praise the Lord. I enjoyed that message immensely. But it's good for us also to get a glimpse of what others are going to taste of. So let's go ahead and take up our reading in John chapter 14. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. It's not my job to make you uncomfortable. I'm supposed to make you comfortable, but I like standing to read God's holy Word just the same. John chapter 14, you follow along in your Bible as I would read some very familiar verses. Verses that I've often, in fact, I can't think of a funeral where I did not cover these verses. And so they're familiar to us. And watch them closely as we look at them. And again, set my message title in context here. And understand that there are those, again, who aren't going to taste of what's in these verses. John 14, the Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Father, praise you and thank you for your word. Thank you that we can look at this familiar portion, find your grace, find again your sufficiency, and the hope again that's in every heart that's here, we trust. Father, as we consider again the promise that's given to us, help us to consider also those that would miss out on your promise for a few minutes this morning. In the name of Christ we pray, amen. Amen. You may be seated as we consider this again. I just want to simply go down through the message that outline was preached again and the glorious things that are portrayed for us to be in heaven. It's interesting that the Bible teaches way, way more about hell than it does about heaven. And so when we draw out the verses again that speak about heaven, understand that for every verse that talks about heaven, there's a couple verses that talk about a place called hell. And so let's go ahead and consider some things about it here this morning. First off, here we found a prepared place. Turn over to Matthew and chapter 25, where we spent a little bit of time. You might want to put a marker in Matthew chapter 25. We'll be coming and going through that chapter a couple times here in this message, even as we did on Friday night. Matthew chapter 25, and look with me at verse 41. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, the Bible says in that verse, "Then shall he say unto them, on the left hand," this is a judgment of the nations, "the sheep are on his right hand, the goats are on his left hand," in this illustration, "the sheep are the saved ones, the goats are the lost ones. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." I want you to know that that is a prepared place as well. And take note that that was prepared before John 14 was spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ. This place was prepared for the devil and his angels. And again, understand that Jesus said, "I'm going to go and prepare you a place that's different than this place." And so, praise the Lord, again, his preparation have just begun 2,000 years ago. But here's a place that has been prepared since the fall of the angels, again, that's recorded there in Genesis. We know that when God created all things, they were good. But somewhere between Genesis 1 and Genesis 3, when Satan is made known again to us as the tempter, as the liar, as the great deceiver, this place here was prepared for those fallen angels. And so there's two prepared places here. I've heard it said, and like this little line, that heaven is a prepared place. for a prepared people. But the inverse of that again is true, that hell is a prepared place. And it's prepared for the devil and his angels, and unprepared people will land themselves there. So let's go ahead and consider over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Brother Bennett preached a little bit out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And let's again draw some contrast to what we have versus what the lost have. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16 says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord." And then look at the next verse there. It says in verse 18, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Listen, that's a comfort. That is a comfort to know again that even though this world may turn into a Sodom and Gomorrah, Jesus said it would, even though this world may turn into a place like it was in the days of Noah before the wrath of God was poured out upon this earth, and we know that Jesus said it was going to, listen, we have a comfort. And that we're going to be snatched out of here. We're going to be caught out of here. It's not appointed unto us to for wrath. But again, look at the inverse of that, that it is appointed to some for wrath. Once we're snatched out of here, the Bible says there's going to be a great deceiver, a great delusion here upon this earth. And again, those that are left behind are going to again be tasting of the wrath of God here upon this earth. And so though we have a great comfort, why should you look around and understand that the world out there doesn't have any comfort? The world out there doesn't have that hope, that assurance, that knowledge again, that they're going to avoid the wrath of God. And yea, quite the opposite again. Bible says that that mankind knows in his heart that he has displeased God and that there is a wrathful God waiting for him. The Bible says again that it's that man is without excuse because he knows that in his soul. That he's come short, and that there is going to be a wrath for his failure in life. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Look down to chapter 5, and look at verse 3. "For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with a child. And they shall not escape." That's again those that are left behind. That's those that don't believe. That's those that don't have a trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4. "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness." I want you to know that they are in darkness. A little while ago I preached, I think it was out of Ephesians, where ye were sometimes darkness. And that's not that you were just in darkness. You were darkness itself. And just the same as today, as a Christian, as a believer, you are light. And you are the light of that shines in this world. If there's a Shekinah glory that's going to shine in Dresden, it's going to come from your heart because that's where God dwells. And so we are the light of the world. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father that is in heaven." But just as much as you are light, understand that they are darkness, and you were darkness. But now, again, we're made light. And so, they're still darkness. And they're not only living in darkness, they're permeating darkness. They're sending darkness out into the world. Boy, again, understand that we have great comfort, but they have none. H, again, in his outline, stood for happy. Paul said he was, I think myself happy because, and he was in chains when he said that, praise the Lord, standing before Agrippa, the king, his judge, and he says, "I think myself happy." Listen, Christians can be happy no matter what. And he gave us there again this verse in Matthew chapter 25. Let's go back and look again in Matthew chapter 25 and understand that we have a happiness, yea, we have a joy that goes all the way to the bones. I'd go further than that after hearing about the marrow in our bones. It goes all the way to the marrow of our bones, praise the Lord. We have a joy in our life that this world cannot understand and this world cannot take away. Look with me at Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21. And the Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Listen, we have a joy of the Lord. When I buried my mother, we had a joy in our heart that I'd see her again. When we buried my father, we had a joy in our heart that we'd see him again. When we buried Bev's father, just before that, just after that, in the same month anyway, both of us again buried fathers. And as we did that, boy, it's good to have a joy and a comfort again. That there is a life eternal, and those that have tasted of the Lord Jesus Christ are entered therein. But boy, again, think about the world. They have no joy. The world, when they go to a funeral, that's it. Again, they can't see again the joy of that. They can't understand it. Bible says that it pleases the Lord. The death of the saints is a joy to the Lord. It pleases Him. And sometimes we can't understand that fully, but again, understand, look at the world looking at that. Death, again, is separation, and it'll rob our joy. But praise the Lord for you that have eternal life. We have a joy. And look now again at the same chapter, verse 26. The Lord answered and said unto him, "Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gatheredest where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him that and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have an abundance, but of him or from him that hath not shall be taken away even that he hath." Verse 30. "And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." That talent that was given, that one talent that was given to that individual is this. Pay attention. I preached this before, but I want to emphasize it here again. That one talent that he had was a knowledge of the scriptures, a knowledge of the wrath of God. Romans chapter 1 speaks again of the fact that he's without excuse. He knew better. And we see it in the illustration here, that he knew better, but didn't do better. And so again, we find that he has again his reward, which is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so as we consider there again, what we have, the joy, also consider that there's those who have no joy in this life. I've been told, and I like this illustration, that inside of every soul, every human soul, is a shape that's exactly formed of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, until that void is filled, and the only thing that'll fill it, booze don't fill it, women don't fill it, the 5 vices that I've named here before, they don't fill that void that's inside of us. But the Lord Jesus Christ fills that void. Those walking around in this world trying to fill that void with everything else, they do not have the void filled. So look back at Psalm 16. Psalm chapter 16 and verse 11. Brother Bennett preached that again about the joy that's in our heart. And I didn't get a bookmark in this one, so I'll have to find it the old-fashioned way. Man. Psalms chapter 16. And verse 11, Psalm chapter 16, and verse 11, we're reading through the Psalms on our Bible reading schedule, and if you're on date today, you had the challenging task of reading the 119th Psalm. So, Beverly and I had to get up a little earlier this morning to get our Bible reading done, praise the Lord. Psalm chapter 16, look with me at verse 11. "Thou shalt show me the path of life in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. We look at the pleasures that we have in this world, and sometimes they're vain, they're empty. But boy, we're going to have pleasures forevermore. However, the unsaved are going to have pleasures nevermore. Look at the verse before that. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Again, understand that there are going to be those that have their soul left in hell. There are going to be those who do see corruption. So even here in Psalm 16, we see joy and pleasure for us for all of eternity. But understand, hell is a place of agony and no pleasure for all of eternity. Extreme beauty, he said, was for the E. Look at me at Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. And we had a memory verse out of there this past week as well, verse 4. But look with me at Revelation chapter 21 and verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he showed me a city, four square, with 12 gates and 12 foundations. He read the whole text. But I want us to consider again that though we see extreme beauty for all of eternity, understand that if you back up in this chapter to verse 8, it says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And so they'll taste of a second death. If you're born once, you'll die twice. If you're born again, if you're born twice, you'll die once. And only that's a perchance. We might need an uppertaker instead of an undertaker. But again, understand that you must be born again, or else you'll be in verse 8 here again. And notice that list, and that's where you're going to be spending eternity with that crowd right there. We get extreme beauty, and they get a lake of fire. We get all that is good for the A, all that is good, Revelation 21, verses 27. Let's look at verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter in into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. What if you're not written in the Lamb's book of life? What if there's no new name written down in glory for you? Again, understand that we're going to fall then instead under verse 24. And the nations of them that are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. The unsaved are not there. They'll not taste of that. Instead, again, they're going to be where here it says everything that defileth is not going to be in heaven. Everything that defileth is going to be in hell. And as we look at the contrast, again, understand that it is only the saved. That's a good Bible word. Don't be afraid to use that. A lot of people say that, well, yeah, they've been born again. In other words, they turned over a new leaf. But don't be afraid of that word just because they've misused it. We need to be born again. A lot of people say, not too many people say this, but that you need to be converted. Jesus said, except you be converted, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. Have you been converted? That means one day we're going one way and there's a conversion. The next day you're going in a different direction. One fellow, and he said, well, I never really had a head-on collision with God. I just believed all my life. I believed in Jesus all my life, and he's never converted. A deacon of a church, but never converted. And I told him, best I could, you know, hey, what Jesus said, except you be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Except you be converted. If you're not converted, then you can't be all right all your life. Pastor Christians, the only one I let get away was saying, I've been a Christian all my life. But that was his last name. But again, listen, you got to be converted. And so you got to be saved. Here it is. And for those unsaved, again, they'll not taste of all that is good. Instead, they'll have a taste of all that is bad. Trust Christ. Let's look back at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He also mentioned this in all that is good. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 gives what we used to be and are no longer. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's look at verse 11 before we look at the list and given in verse 9 and 10. It says in verse 11, and such were some of you. Praise the Lord, we're not now. Again, if you've been converted, you're not in this list. Verse 9 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, a guy trying to pretend that he's a woman. I don't care what operations they may be able to do. There it is. It's in your Bible. These are just the words of Paul, and he didn't understand. No. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ that Paul recorded for us. Nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. There's another word for that. You should write it in the margin there. It's called sodomy. That's again where men are with men or men are with anything that's not normal. Verse 10, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. I don't care what's politically correct in our society. If it's in that list, it is sin. And if you're living in that list again, then you haven't been changed. And you need to be. Praise the Lord again. Such were some of you. Listen, there's a list of who you're going to be tallied with in hell if you end up there. Those that are going to hell. Sweet people. Precious people. Honest, sincere people. But sincerely wrong. Jesus said, I am the way. There is no other way. I am the truth. There is no other truth. I am the life. There is no other eternal life. And so again, there's a list of what's going to be there in the courts of hell. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. We're right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Turn back a couple pages and find that last couple verses of this precious old chapter. 1 Corinthians 15 is a resurrection chapter. And look at verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Beverly and I were in a church. I don't remember what state we were in now. But that was a sign that they had on the nursery door. I like that. It's taking it out of context, but praise the Lord. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We're going to be changed. It goes on here to talk about a corruptible and an incorruptible body. And in verses, these verses, we again find that we're going to be put on incorruption. We're going to put on immortality. Death is swallowed up in victory. But listen, if you're here today, if you're lost, if you're here today and have a lost loved one, if you're here today and your next door neighbor is lost, I want you to know that they don't have any death that's swallowed up in victory. They don't have any incorruptible body coming. They're going to live in a corruptible body. There is going to be a second death for them. They are, again, going to experience a second death, which is a separation. When we die, our body, our soul, and our spirit are separated. When Jesus Christ died, the Bible says that His spirit He commended to God. His soul went to hell and His body went to the tomb. Death is separation of three parts of humanity, body, soul, and spirit. And as we understand that again, there is a second death. which is a total and permanent separation from God, their Creator, and they are forever separated from Almighty God in the courts of a place called hell. That's called the second death out of Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8 that we already read. Isaiah 66:24. Let's go look at these two verses real quickly. And Matthew chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 26, or 66, last chapter. There's some sayings in Isaiah chapter 66 that I don't fully understand, but I fully believe every one of them. So look with me at verse 24, an interesting insight to the soul of man. Listen, when you put on an incorruptible body, it's going to be robed in Christ's righteousness, in white linen, as it says, signifying the righteousness of Christ. If you didn't get an incorruptible body, then you're in a corruptible body. And I want to see the description that's given here. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die. Do you see that there? For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. They shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. Turn me to Matthew chapter 25. Again, where we were. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 9. The book of Matthew in chapter 9. One dare not preach on this except on hell, except they look at Matthew and chapter 9. And verse 44. I could say I don't have a 44. Let's try Mark chapter 9. I can't read my own writing. Mark chapter 9. And verse 44. Starting in verse 43, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where their worm, see that word? Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. By the way, if you have a modernist Bible, they took out a couple verses here. Verse 44 and 46 have been ripped out of all modernist Bibles. Verse 46, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. If thy eye offend thee, this here's talking again about whatever you have to do to avoid hell. It is worth doing anything in this life that you could possibly do to avoid hell. Boy, again, you see the awfulness of it there. You see the eternity of it there. Yeah, they pulled them out of the modernist Bibles. They don't like them verses again, but there's a couple books out, one of them I'm reviewing now, that says, well, eternal fire doesn't really mean eternal, and it doesn't really mean fire. You take your Bible for what it means here. And again, understand that we have eternal life. They that are unsaved, your neighbors that don't know Christ, your loved ones who go off into eternity without calling upon His name as their Lord and Savior, they have eternal death. I don't have time, but in Revelation, there's 7 no mores. My son preached that, 7 no mores, when he was 14. In our junior church program, he preached 7 no mores in 6 minutes. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to try and do the same here. There's 7 no mores listed in Revelation. If you memorize the verse 4 of 21, then you already got 5 of them down again. Bible says that there's no more tears in heaven. But I'll tell you what, there's tears in hell. Bible says there's no more death in heaven. But I'll tell you what, in hell there's a perpetual death. The Bible says there's no more sorrow in heaven. But even the rich man in hell was sorry that his brothers, that he couldn't be a witness to his brothers. There's sorrow ringing throughout all eternity in hell. Bible says there's no more crying in heaven. But I want you to know in hell there's a continual weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Bible says there's no more pain in heaven. But in hell, again, there's a hellfire and the pain of burning for all of eternity, if my Bible's true. Bible says there's no more night in heaven, and that's out of 21 verse 25. For the sun will be there, S-O-N. But listen, the sun is not going to be in hell. And there'll be an eternal darkness and a forever night in hell. There's no more curse in heaven, it says in chapter 22 and verse 3. Boy, I want you to know that in hell there's an eternal curse and the wrath of God abiding on those. Some of you know someone today who's headed towards hell. Some of them, I know several by their own testimony, that are headed towards hell and prefer it that way. If we get a glimpse of hell this morning, we'd walk different and talk different. We'd witness different as we even walk through this week. Father, praise you again and thank you for what your word says about heaven. Thank you, Father, that this morning we could take it, turn it upside down, and recognize that there's going to be some who miss heaven. Lord, I pray again that they'd not miss because, again, of our failed witness, because of our feigned witness. But Lord, again, that you tug on our hearts, help us again to talk about hell to those that are going there in a way again that lives could be changed, heaven could be richer, hell poorer, because of our witness right here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. Because of our missionaries sent around the world, we'll praise you and thank you, Father, for tug on the heart here this morning. In the name of Christ, we pray it. Amen. Let's have an invitation song. I surrender all. 308 in our song book. We've sung that pretty much all week. Heard it. Let's go ahead and have a surrender here in our service this morning as we've sang just the first. In the last verse, I surrender.